knew that you would die before tomorrow, who would you talk to today? Who would you call today? Those are people that are pivotal in your life. If your house were burning and you had time just to get three or four items, what would those items be? So that establishes your values. What is it that's really important to you? And questions like if you kind of back into a car in the parking lot and do a little damage, do you leave a note letting people know that you backed into the car and nobody sees it? There was one guy that did that, and so he wrote a note. And he said, "I'm writing this note. People think I'm leaving my insurance, my name, and my number, but I'm not. I'm just going to leave this note on the windshield." And he left it there unsigned. And I think that did reveal something about himself.
Yeah, amen.
But questions have a way of doing that. Sometimes questions are very important to revealing things to us. And some questions just really don't have answers. I don't understand. I'm not real sure why we call a building when it's already built. I don't understand that. I don't understand why we park in a driveway and drive on a parkway. That don't make any sense either. And so there's a lot of questions that just don't make sense. They're just questions. But I'd like to turn to the scripture tonight, and it asks an important question. Going to the book of 2 Peter, to the third chapter, and I'm going to read several verses. And, I appreciate, whenever you stand in honor for reading, but you don't have to do that all the time, because a lot of times, when we're in the middle of sermon and we do that, you don't stand anyway. So it's okay if you want to, but don't feel backslide if you're tired and just want to sit down. That's fine too. So, and don't judge anybody because they don't stand. It's just a thing we do out of honor. And I remember when we started doing this, Brother Hart, back in the 70s. You remember that? Before the 70s, and I've been in the church my whole life, people didn't stand up when you read the Bible. They just sat down. And the interesting thing, Jesus, he sat down. So it's not wrong to do that. I'm just pointing out here. It's a great thing to honor, but I'm just saying it's a tradition that we do, and it's not something that's required by Scripture. Amen. Or it's not an issue. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, said, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, the reason he said that, and I'm not going to take time to read what was before, but there were people that were saying, "Well, I've heard all my life that the Lord's coming. He hadn't come yet." Well, let me tell you something. He's still coming. And people have given up, but he made a promise, and he's going to keep his promise. He will come. Now, he explains it very beautifully here. He said the reason that the Lord has not come is because he's long-suffering toward us. And he's not willing that any should perish. In other words, God wants everybody to have an opportunity to be saved. That's the reason for his not having come before now. But then verse 10 said, "But the day of the Lord will come, it will, as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are in them, therein shall be burned up." Now, let me ask you a question tonight, another question. What is the air made out of? Gases. Flammable, explosive gases. Have you ever been around somebody on oxygen? There's a big sign there that says, "No smoking, flammable." Amen. You don't want to strike a match. See, our atmosphere is filled with gases. But it is mixed in such a way at this point in time that it's not flammable. Each of them, if that chemical balance changed, then it could become flammable. So apparently at some point in time, God's going to cause a big bang. They've been talking about the big bang. We're going to have one. The Bible said heaven's going to pass away with a great noise. Boom! That's going to be quite an explosion. Amen. And the earth said it's going to be melted. Amen. And then it says, with a fervent heat, the earth and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Everybody say things. Stuff. Shall be dissolved. And here's the question. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holiness, a holy conversation, and godliness? Here's the question. Seeing that all this stuff's going to be burned up, then what kind of person should we be? You see, what's most important here, it's not the stuff, is it? It's not how much you get. It's not, somebody said, who dies with the most toys wins. What difference does it make? You're still dead. And you can't take them with you. What a stupid statement. It has nothing to do with it. He said, seeing all this stuff's going to be burnt up. And people get to chasing a lot of weird stuff in life. Well, it's going to pass away. So his question is, seeing that's going to happen, what manner of persons ought we to be? That's the question. Lord bless you, you may be seated. I think that's a very important question tonight that we need to answer. What kind of person should I be? Seeing that that all of this stuff that we put a lot of emphasis on, houses and automobiles and clothes and all the stuff we value and think's important, he said, all that's just going to burn up. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. It's going to be dissolved. But when all that's gone, you're still going to be you. And I'm still going to be me. And we're still going to give account to the great judge for what we have done with our lives. And that's what really matters. That's the end of all of this. That's where everything is headed tonight. So that is the right question, and that's what we want to try to answer here tonight. So he gives us some things here in the book of Peter that will help us to know what kind of people we should be. Verse number 14, he said, wherefore, beloved, seeing then that you look for such things, be diligent. Everybody say, be diligent. Be diligent. Amen. What in the word is the word diligence? It has to do with faithfulness. It has to do with focus, concentration, staying with it, stick-to-itiveness. Amen. That's being diligent. You find the right thing to do and you just stay with it. I have a little Boston Terrier dog that loves to play. She's blind and she still loves to play. She'd rather play in anything. We had a basketball when she was younger in the backyard, and it was aired up, a round basketball, pretty good size, regular size, regulation basketball. And she chewed on that basketball, and you know she couldn't get it in her mouth; she just gnawed on it, and till she literally chewed a hole in a basketball. I mean, it was just, she was diligent; she just stayed with it. And we took her to the vet one day, and the vet said, what in the world happened to her teeth? I hadn't noticed. But she don't, you know, these sharp teeth dogs have, called canines. She don't have those. They're gone. She wore those down to just level with the rest of her teeth that are worn down, chewing on that stupid basketball. But she was so diligent, single-minded. I believe she could tear up a bowling ball if you gave her long enough. She just, you get those little tennis balls for dogs, that's about 5 minutes, and it's just pieces all over the floor. You get those really nice, you know, those tough toys, that's kind of how I buy those tough toys, those usually last at least a week before they're torn up. I mean, she's diligent. She's single-minded, and I admire that, And that's what the Bible, it's talking about, just being diligent. Hanging in there. Your mind's made up. And the people that are going to make it in this journey, you just got to make your mind up. But I'm in this thing. I got in it. Sister Dickerson says often, she started this journey and she intends to finish this journey. You see, that's diligent. Just got your mind made up. It's not a matter of, am I going to live for God today? I've already made that decision. Yes, I'm going to live for God today. It's not a matter of whether I'm going to be here Sunday. Yes, if I'm still breathing and it's at all possible I'm going to be here Sunday. I mean, I'm not going to wake up Sunday morning trying to make that. I'm going to church today. If the doors are open and I'm breathing, I'll be in church today. You see, it's just a made-up mind. It's diligence. So one of the things that we ought to be is to be diligent. The Bible said that the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when you make up your mind to seek after God, He said, I will reward you. Amen. I will reward you. So when we seek after God with a whole heart, well, there's a lot of rewards that come. And you know, especially in North America, we try to put price tags on everything and monetary values on everything. Well, how much will I get if I'm faithful to God? Well, how about peace of mind? How about peace that passes understanding? How about peace in the midst of the storm? Amen. How about love that cannot be defined with human... Amen. How about faithfulness that, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world? Amen. How about grace that is sufficient? I mean, He'll give you strength when you know you can't make it. Somehow He comes alongside and helps you, and you feel a strength that's greater than your own, and you make it through situations that you would never have imagined you could make it through. How about mercy for the times that you don't make it, when you give up and you give in and you give out and you fall, but He restores you once again and sets you back on your feet and gives you a solid foundation? You see, that's what I'm talking about. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You want to know truth? He'll teach you truth. You want to know the right way? He'll show you the right way. You want strength to be a good person? He'll give you the strength to be a good person. Amen. Hey, God, He blesses those that diligently seek Him. God blesses those that don't diligently seek Him. I just heard today about a young man that was, his dad's a friend of mine, a pastor. The young man's hadn't been doing so well lately spiritually. He was driving the car the other day, and he hit a big old bull. And it sheared all four of the bull's legs off. It came into the windshield of the car. He said it was headed to crush him. All he had time to do was say Jesus. That's all he knew. He grew up knowing that name. And he said all of a sudden it was as if a big hand just swiped him off of the car, and he fell off into the ditch and didn't come in and crush the life out of the young man. I'm telling you something, friend. God's a rewarder. Amen. Now, it wasn't because that young man's wishy-washy, but it was because there's a father that's faithful in his prayers. It was because there's a mother that's faithful in her prayers. Amen. And God preserved that young man and allowed him to make it through. Amen. There was another couple my sister-in-law told me about in Mexico recently, down in Laredo in the valley, and they went over to the other side in Mexico, and they stopped, and these two men got in, and first of all, they demanded all their money. Then they took them out into a secluded place, and all the way out there they said, we're going to kill you. There's no question, we're going to kill you. And they had their guns ready. And they said, we just got to call the boss and make sure he wants us to do it. So they kept trying to call the boss, and they couldn't get him. And about this time, these two young people started talking in tongues. They were Pentecostals, and they started praying and talking in tongues. And one of those young men, he said, oh no. He said, these are Christians like my mom. And so they got out to the edge of town. They still couldn't get the boss. And so the one said, he said, all right. He said, let's kill them. He said, I can't kill them. I told you, they're Christians like my mom. I can't kill them. He said, you want to kill them? You kill them. And he said, I can't kill them. He said, well, I guess we'll have to let them go. Amen. Hey, that's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's being a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a reward for faithfulness, folks. Amen. There's a reward for diligence. Amen. He said, first of all, we should be diligent. And then verse number 14, he said that we need to be without spot and blemish, didn't he? He said, seeing then that we look for such things, be diligent, that you be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Amen. We need to keep the spots out of our garments. We're headed for a wedding. Amen. And we go to a wedding, you don't want to go with spots all over your garment. You don't want to go with egg on your face, jelly stains on your shirt, and breadcrumbs on your gown. You know, no, you don't want to do that. You want to get there spotless, pure, clean, blameless, he said. Amen. God has given us something that will help us. Let me, sometimes when you don't know what to do, here's a rule that helps me. And that is, do I feel peace about my situation? Have you ever been in a situation and you didn't know if it was right or wrong, but you were just disturbed about it? If you are, then you probably shouldn't do it. But if you have peace, that's God's way of saying, that's all right, go ahead. Peace is God's way of letting go what's right in life. Amen. Well, and here's the interesting thing. You can have peace when everything else is in turmoil. When we were trying to get to Colombia as missionaries, we had all kinds of trouble. We couldn't get our visas. We had African people kept saying, are you sure it's the will of God? I said, I know it's the will of God because I have peace. I know the Lord told us to do this. There's no question about it. Sometimes the trouble is not coming because it's not the will of God. It's just the devil's doing everything he can to keep you from doing the will of God. But if it's right and you know it's right and you have peace and the Lord has spoken, just pursue it. All of that trouble will fall away and you will come through victoriously. So he said, you got to pursue peace and be without spot. That's the kind of person you ought to be. Amen. Isn't it amazing that we can live in the world and not be of the world? The Bible said that we're pilgrims and strangers. It calls us peculiar people. People that have been encircled or enfortressed by God. And we are separate in the world. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Somebody said, but I don't want to stand out in the world. And yet, they'll wear some of the most ridiculous things. Shake your head like this. That's about right, brother. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't want to stand out, but if everybody else is dyeing their hair green, they won't dye their hair green. Well, that does kind of stand out, you know. Amen. So why not just go ahead and stand out for righteousness? Praise God. Amen. So we are to live then without spot, blameless. And then verse number 15, he gives us another thing that we should be. He said, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Everybody say long-suffering. Long-suffering. That is just being patient. Stand with it. Amen. Praise God. I'm deal sometimes hard. It's hard for me to be patient with some things. And yet other things, it's easy. You know, if it takes patience to get the job done, I don't like it, but I can do it. I've laid on the ground before underneath the car when I could only turn a long bolt And you could just turn it about a quarter of a turn like that. And it may take an hour of just laying there doing this to get that stupid bolt out. And you think, why in the world? Because I got to. I don't want to pay somebody else $100 an hour to do that. It's not that hard. It just requires a little patience. There's some things you just got to endure. If you're going to get the job done, you just got to endure. Like it, don't like it, doesn't matter. If you're going to get the job done, you got to stay with it. Yeah, man, you're going to get to heaven, you got to stay on the right road. Praise God, you got to stay with it. You can't give up. You can't give out. You can't give in. You got to keep going. Just be long-suffering. The Bible said, in your patience possess ye your souls. Amen. Praise God. So be patient. Be patient with people. Somebody's been patient with you. Isn't that true? Has anybody here, somebody ever been patient with you? Amen. They've put up with some stuff, you know. Then you do the same for others. Amen. Because somebody was patient with you. Amen. And so he said, that's one of the kind of person we need to be, patient people. Long-suffering people. Amen. And we need to be people of truth. Yes, we do. We need to know the truth, and we need to love the truth. Praise God. Verse 16, he said, also in his epistle, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable, rest as they do also the other scriptures under their own destruction. So there are some people that will twist the Bible to make it say what they want it to say. Now let me ask you a question. How do you like it when people do that to you? Have you ever had somebody twist your words and put words in your mouth and say you said something that you didn't say? Or change what you did say to make it something different than what they know you intended, just so they can make you look bad. And that upsets you, and that upsets me. How much more does that upset God? When people take His word and they twist it, and they change it to make it apply to what they want it to say, and the way that they want to live. Amen. But the Bible said they do that to their own destruction. Because this Bible was given to save us. But if we twist it and destroy it, then it will in turn destroy us. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said that the word of the Lord is a two-edged sword. It has two edges. One edge is salvation. The other edge is destruction. The same word that can save you can also judge and destroy you. The same word that can bring life can also bring death. It's like the scalpel in the surgeon's hand. If he can go in and he can cut out a cancer and save your life. Or if he cuts out the wrong thing, he can take your life. All with the same blade. So the word of God's like that. And just let me say this. Be careful how we use the word of the Lord. We need to be very careful how we use the word of the Lord. Don't use the word of the Lord to hurt people. Use the word of God to help people. Amen. We need to be very careful because this word is very powerful. Amen. So we need to know truth. We need to love truth. We need to be stable. The scripture said that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I think often of the guy that was in the Civil War. He had sympathies with the North and he had sympathies with the South. So he said, well, I don't know what side to be on. So he got on the gray shirt of the South and he put on the blue trousers of the North and he went to battle and he got shot at from both sides because nobody knew which side he was on. And so you see, you can't be unstable. You got to make up your mind. You can't be of two minds. But you have to make a decision and follow through with that. You've got to be a stable person. Amen. You can't be unstable. And then the scripture says we need to be humble. Humble. The scripture said that if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. Amen. But if we exalt ourselves, God will humble us. So I would rather humble myself and be exalted by the Lord than to exalt myself and be humbled by the Lord. Amen. And so humility then is one of the things that, seeing how what's coming, all these things going to be burned up with a fervent heat. Amen. It's not going to all matter anyway. What difference is it going to make? So I just need to be an humble person. What do you mean by humility, Brother Grissom? Well, humility is whenever you just don't think about yourself a whole lot. It's actually the opposite of selfishness. Selfishness. Selfishness is something that I've discovered in life. It's very subtle. You can be selfish and not really know it. When I was a kid, I think what I did was I confused selfishness with stinginess. Because Mama used to make me share stuff. And so I thought that was, that, you know, and she'd say that if I didn't share my toys and whatever, I was being selfish. But I wasn't being selfish, I was being stingy. Although stinginess is one of the fruits of selfishness. But selfishness goes much deeper than that. Selfishness is just thinking about yourself all the time. And everything in life is judged by you. And now, this may sting a little bit, but I don't intend for it to. But you know, I was a person that was, by my nature, I suppose, and temperament, I'm an introvert. An introverted person, if they're not careful, can be a very selfish person. And yet, sometimes we think, well, that's being humble. No, it's not necessarily. Let me give you a test here. Are you ready? It won't hurt but a minute. When somebody introduces you and say, how are you doing? And you say, I'm Johnny Grissom. And they say their name and you don't get their name. You know why you don't get their name? Because you're making sure you got yours right. And you're more interested in making sure they know your name than you are trying to get their name. Now, why is that? Because I'm selfish. I want to make sure they know me. I want to make sure I make a good presentation. Now, when you get older, you have a better excuse. It means you just can't hear. So things do change a little bit as you get a little bit older. But that's one of the things that's just a little bit of how we are. We think of ourselves. And this is another test that I think is a really good one. We say, well, you know, I'm not a selfish person. But if you get a photo, it's a group photo, and you're in that photo, who are you looking for? You're saying, oh, there's so-and-so, there's so-and-so, but who are you looking for? Honestly, who are you looking for? You're looking for yourself. And you may not say, there's me, but that's who you're looking for. Because all of us have this selfishness in us. But we temper that in life and to the place that we're willing to sacrifice ourself and our will, good and the good of the cause of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible talks about talks about preferring your brother. You know, you go out, one of the first things that couples do sometimes, you know, you're going to go out to eat, but you don't know where you want to go. So you say, where do you want to go? Oh, I don't know. It doesn't matter where you want to go. Well, let's go here. Nah, I don't really want to go there. So this selfishness goes deep, folks. And it's something that all of us have to deal with one way or the other. Amen. And, you know, if somebody does something, it's like the guy that told his wife, he said, I want one of my eggs hard-boiled and I want the other scrambled. She did it just like he liked it. He still got mad. He said, you boiled the wrong egg. Now that's selfish. That's selfish. But some of us, we look for things, and we take things way beyond what they should be because we're selfish. Amen. What causes people to live a long time with an unforgiving spirit and a wedge in their relationship? It's because of selfishness. What's real quiet? I'm nervous now. Amen. But that's what caused it, selfishness. You know, I don't want to be the first one to give in. Amen. Well, somebody needs to. Praise God. And so he said, don't be selfish. Don't be a selfish person. Amen. Be an humble person. And because he said, if you're humble, God will exalt you. And didn't he do that? I love the story of Joseph, how that Joseph was an humble person. Even though he had all these promises God gave him, they didn't go to his head. He remembered them, but it didn't make him proud. It just made him assured that I'm a blessed man because God has promised me all these things. And here he finds himself in a prison. He was sold by his brethren to slavery. And then he winds up in prison for doing the right thing. And still, he doesn't have a pity party. He's not feeling sorry for himself. He just is doing the very best he can with what he has, where he is. And then all of a sudden, in one day's time, God takes that man out of that prison cell and puts him in the chariot of the king with the key of the city around his neck. And he's the governor, he's the second, and the whole kingdom of Egypt. Now you talk about exalting somebody. If you're humble, God can exalt you like that. Amen. But what's the opposite is how people plot their career. You know, I'll do this and I'll do that. And I'll hang out with this one and I'll do this for that one, but I won't do this for that one because they don't matter anyway. And you plot your way and you scheme. That's selfish, you see. You're selfish. Amen. But when you just lay it all out and do what's right for the Lord, amen, he can exalt you. He can exalt you. Amen. Praise God. So be humble, he said. And then he said, we need to be, what is the word I want to use here? I think the word I want to use is to be very careful. Now that doesn't mean full of care, but it means that we don't want to be weighted down with the cares of this life. The Bible tells us, Jesus said in the book of Luke that some people are going to be lost in the last days because of the cares of this life. You know, life has a lot of problems. But if we're not careful, we'll lose our faith and get all caught up in worry. Everybody say worry. Isn't that right? We can get so worried about things that we can lose our faith. And these are the times when that can happen. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things on the horizon here that if you're not careful, you can just get worried about it. And we need to be careful who we listen to. I mean, if you listen to too much negativity, you get so negative and you get so worried that it'll affect your faith. You've got to be very careful who you listen to in this time. Amen. And kind of keep your eyes on the Lord through it all. Amen. Regardless of what political persuasion you may be, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. Regardless of what you think about the economy, keep your eyes on the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible didn't say that Walmart's going to supply all my needs. He didn't say the U.S. government's going to supply all my needs. No, sir. No, sir. Amen. Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. So if we're not careful, we can get our eyes on our employer. We can get our eyes on our government. We can get our eyes on other things. And when you do that, you're going to be all tied up in knots, and you're going to be worried about everything, and everything's going to get negative. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. He's going to get us through. Regardless, He's going to bring us through. Amen. So don't get caught up in the cares of the world. And then He says, be sober. Well, that's good advice, isn't it? But let me just say tonight, you can be intoxicated on more than just alcohol. You can be influenced by more than just some kind of a halogenic drug. There are other things that can make you unstable. Worry can do that. Selfishness can do that. Anything that causes you to be under that you're unstable, and it doesn't, and you start thinking wrong and talking wrong and being wrong and doing wrong. Amen. You got to be careful. Be sober, He said. Don't let anything, any of these things influence you unduly. Amen. And because He said, your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So be careful. Be sober. Amen. Be of a sound mind. Isn't that a good thing to have? Amen. Praise God. So He said, what kind of person should you be? Be sober. Amen. You know, I think sometimes about our world and how that everybody likes to party and get intoxicated. And I think, well, their world must not be too good if they're always trying to escape from it. Life must not be too great if you're always trying to escape from it. There must be something that's causing that. Amen. And then he says, be vigilant. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Amen. We've got to be careful because we have this treasure. The Bible said we have a treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. If somebody were going to charge you today to carry some precious coins worth millions of dollars, and it was your responsibility to transport them, you'd want to be careful. Because there are some people that would like to relieve you of your responsibility. And you'd have to be very vigilant. You have to be very careful because you had some precious things. And could I just say tonight, I don't know of anything more precious than the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing is more precious than that. And that's what I have, and that's what you have in your vessel tonight. So we have to be vigilant because we have an adversary that would like to take that from us. And so we have to be very vigilant. We have to be on guard and on our lookout. Amen. Now, the Scripture says, and this is so very important, it says that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. The devil wants everybody to be a pushover, but he doesn't have any endurance to people that stand up to him. I mean, well, how long do I resist, brother, until he goes away? You just keep standing until he turns around and leaves you alone. That's what resistance is. If you've ever been involved in a football game or watched a football game, you know, and these guys get up there on the line, and they're usually big old guys, and they're there. Their job is to keep the defense from getting to the quarterback back there. And they just stand there, and they just keep resisting. They just keep resisting. Doesn't matter how big they are, doesn't matter how bruised they get, doesn't matter how bad it hurts, you just keep resisting because you're protecting something. Amen. And in this battle that you and I are in, we're in something much more precious than just a guy throwing a pigskin. Amen. And so you just keep resisting the devil, and you keep resisting the devil, and you keep resisting the devil. And the Bible says that he will flee from you. If you resist him in the faith, hallelujah, amen. And then the Bible said we got to be watchful, amen. If I And I've said this before, but if somebody come running to the church here and said, "Brother Grissom, I just heard on the radio that there's a circus coming through town and some lions got out and they're roaming the streets out here." When you got out of the church tonight, you should be really, really watchful. You'd look before you got out of the door. You look both ways. Amen. And you'd run to your car just as fast as you can and hope that little thing works. It opens the door. And hope you got the right key in your hand. Amen. Because you see, there's some danger out there. And so you would be very watchful. And it's important that we learn that lesson and be very watchful. We have to be watchful people. Because there are some things. And you know, some people say, well, the Bible's outdated. It was written so long ago. But it's not. It's not outdated. Well, what about things today that they didn't have back in the Bible? There are principles that cover all of those things. Obviously, they didn't have a computer in Bible times. But there are things, they're just principles of holiness and righteousness that'll keep you safe on your computer. If you'll just follow those things that are right, it doesn't have to be written down. The Bible doesn't have to say, "Thou shalt not drink I.W. Harper Hooch or any other brand." There's new brands all the time. It just says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein's excess." It just gives you a guideline. Don't get drunk, period. You see? It's a principle. It doesn't have to cover every new thing that comes up. The Scripture just said, "Set no wicked thing before your eyes." Whatever it is. If it's a television or a telephone or a telegraph or whatever or a computer screen. Doesn't matter. The principle's the same. So the Bible covers technology of the 21st century. It's all covered in the Word of the Lord. He said, you just be watchful. Well, did they have it back then? They had it pretty bad. They had some pretty bad stuff. I mean, if you wanted to sin, it was available. If you wanted to do something wrong, you could have. It was there to do, just like it is today. And so there are principles, and one of the principles he said is you got to be watchful. Watch out. Watch yourself. Watch others. Just be watchful. Amen. Just be watchful. Amen. And then we also have to not only be watching out for the bad, we got to be watching out for the good. You remember the story that Jesus gave of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. And he said that the bridegroom went to prepare, and the bride was waiting for the return of the bridegroom. Now, in Bible times, of course, they didn't have telephones, and so they didn't have a really good, reliable mail system. Amen, like the U.S., United States Postal Service, and our faithful mail, a mail carrier. That's it, right? I've got it here now. I mean, mailmen's are done that all men are males, right? So anyway, there was none of that. So it was a kind of a fun thing that the bridegroom would try to surprise the bride and catch her unawares. And so he would go away and he wouldn't tell her when he was coming. She just had to be ready whenever he came. Does that sound familiar? And so that's what we don't know when the Lord's coming. But we know He's coming, and so to help the bride out and make it more fair, when somebody spotted that knew the bridegroom saw him, and they would turn to where they knew where the bride lived, and they'd holler real loud. They'd say, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh!" And somebody else that knew what was going on, they'd turn around and live a little closer to the bride, and they'd haul the same thing toward the bride's house. And they'd keep doing that. And so finally, way off in the distance somewhere, the bride, if she was listening, she could hear a little slight voice saying, oh, is that him? And then as he got a little closer, they'd hear more voices. And it would help her to be ready when he came. But she had to be watching. Amen. And Brother Hart just wrote a book to help us to get ready. Amen. And the signs of the times, isn't that right? How many believe with the signs of the times are telling us that it won't be long? I believe the Holy Ghost is telling us that it won't be very long. The Spirit of the Lord is trying to stir us and keep us stirred and let us know, hey, the bridegroom is on his way. It won't be long. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. We hear that voice. He said, so you'll be watchful. Be watchful. Because he's coming. He's on his way. Amen. Now, that brings me to one last question. When I talk about the coming of the Lord, how does that make you feel? Fearful or excited? You see, that's how we examine ourselves. If I think about the Lord coming back and I'm fearful, then perhaps I need to change some things in my life. But if I hear the Lord's coming and I get excited about it and I'm comforted by the fact, then that tells me that everything's all right. Amen. And so it's important tonight that we just be ready. Because he said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. So just be ready. What manner of persons ought we to be? Let's stand together. Thank you for your time tonight and your attention here. Amen. It's important that we just stay prepared, because one thing that we know is that he's coming. I don't know the day, and neither does anybody else. I don't know the hour, and neither does anybody else, but amen, that the signs of the times help us to know that he is coming soon. Amen, he is coming soon. Amen. I want to be ready. I believe everybody here tonight wants to be ready. Amen. So what kind of person am I? Praise God. I'm sure that there are things that I can do better. And it is my intention tonight to make all of the improvements that I can. I want to do everything I can do to be ready for Jesus when he comes. Amen. I want to do everything I can to be ready when he comes. So teach me, Lord, and help me tonight to be watchful and to be ready. Praise God. What kind of person should I be? Lord, I want to be a Christian tonight. Just simply a Christian. I want to be like Jesus Christ. I don't want to be just religious. I don't want to just be a Pentecostal. I really want to be a Christian. I want to be like Jesus tonight in every way. I want to be like you in my mind. I want to be like you in my heart, in my spirit. I want my actions to be the same kind of actions. And I want to make the same kind of decisions that you would make. I want to treat people the way that you would treat them. I want to love my brothers and sisters. And I want to love the lost of this world like you would love them. I want to do the work that you would do if you were here. I want my priorities to be like the priorities that you would set. I want to be like you, Lord. That's my goal. That's my aim. I just want to be like Jesus. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Why don't we just examine ourselves here just a moment tonight? And let's make some adjustments if we need to. Amen. Let's make some decisions if we need to. And let's not put things off. He said, well, I'll do it tomorrow, brother. But I don't know about tomorrow. Why would you put off tomorrow something that's important that needs to be done today? Why would you live any longer in a way that perhaps you would know that was not pleasing to the Lord?
have come and gone.
If there's anything that's not pleasing to Him, why would you want to continue in that, knowing that there's so much at stake? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So help us to make things right here tonight. Help us to get it right. Amen. All right, I think it'd be good. There's an altar here if you want to come. Praise God. There's an opportunity to search your heart and talk to God. Get things right with Him. Get things right with one another. Amen. If there's something you need to get right with a brother or sister tonight. Amen. Let's make things right. Let's be ready. Let's genuinely be right and ready for the coming of the Lord. That's the kind of person I want to be. Hallelujah.